This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. The Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, or ICE, which provokes fear and loathing among immigrant communities, was founded in 2001 as part of the post-September 11th creation of the Department of Homeland Security. ICE is the law enforcement arm of DHS and has faced numerous charges of abuses over the past 16 years. Now, under the Trump administration, ICE has a new lease on life, being called upon by authorities to stalk undocumented immigrants, step up raids, and round up and detain people at a greater rate than before. At the same time, the agency is found to have made a request to destroy some of the records of disturbing accusations made by immigrant detainees while in its custody. The request to destroy records was made in 2015. But was given preliminary approval earlier this year. My guest is John Washington, a contributor to The Nation magazine, where he writes about immigration and border politics. And his new article in The Nation magazine is called ICE Wants to Destroy Its Records of In-Custody Deaths, Sexual Assault, and Other Detainee Files. Welcome to the program, John.
Hi, Sonali. Thanks for having me.
So let's actually clarify first what exactly it is that ICE is charged with. I gave a sort of thumbnail sketch of it. But how do you explain what exactly ICE is meant to do? Its enforcement agents wear jackets that say police on the back, which can be confusing for people who see them in the community because they're not part of local police departments. They are federal police, if you will.
Right. That is a really good example of the lack of transparency that the agency operates under. You named a couple of the things that ICE does, and I think it's really important to give that context. What we're seeing right now, I would call something like a perfect storm of immigration enforcement. And the people who are experiencing the worst of it are the undocumented, the dreamers, and the documented, the people with DACA protection, but also Latinos in general and really all people of color. So though while we're seeing right now this sort of catastrophic convergence of under Trump, I think it's really important to point out that, and you started already doing this, that to just follow the metaphor a little bit of the perfect storm, that Trump is just one of many of the sort of tempestuous weather systems that we're dealing with. So to go back a little bit, so Obama deported more people than any other president, and what he did is he established a precedent. And so while his policies in some ways, or at least were seen as being more humane, you know, Obama supposedly was targeting the felons, not families, his administration set up a reductive, and I would call it a brutal dichotomy of the good versus the bad migrant that now Trump is able to exploit. Really, Obama and Bush before him built capacity, so for both ICE and Border Patrol, and now they've handed the tools over to Trump to carry out this racist, xenophobic agenda. So that's one element of the storm, is looking back a little bit. And you know, the other element is Trump himself, Trump and his coterie of fear mongers, hate mongers. We have Jeff Sessions, Attorney General Jeff Sessions, who made the DACA announcement last week. John Kelly, who was the former head of Department of Homeland Security, he was a former Marine, and I think that's one example of the increased militarization of both border enforcement and interior immigration and also police enforcement. And then Tom Homan, he's the chief of ICE right now, who in July, in a press conference in July, warned all people without papers in the United States that they should be looking over their shoulder. That was a quote, that they should be scared. And Trump is exploiting that fear. He's really using that fear to drive through what may be like a broader and quite disturbing agenda. So ICE, you mentioned, wears sometimes uniforms that just say police on them. Sometimes they're not in uniform at all. You know, for one of the least transparent agencies to be requesting, as I point out in the article, to delete records, to be requesting a step towards more opacity, more obfuscation, should really worry us.
And then give us a sense of the kinds of things that ICE has been accused of doing over the years before we get into how records are kept and how unusual it might be to request an erasing of records. What are some of the things that this agency has been accused of doing? These are officers of ICE are the ones that do the arresting. Are they also the ones that oversee the detention centers? And if so, what are the things that they're accused of doing that should be considered violations of U.S. law?
Well, yeah, it is a little bit complicated, but the list of things that they've been accused of doing, the list of human rights abuses, is very long. I don't think we have time to get through all of them in your show, but I could name a few. So there's a lot. First of all, I think we should continue to mention that there's a lot we don't know about ICE. So we might not even be aware of some of the worst abuses. They operate under intense secrecy, and they have, like, to one really, really clear example of that, which I point out in the article, is that they have a listing of all the detention facilities in the United States on their website. They list just over 100 of them, but we know that there are 212 of them, over 200. So they are only listing even half of their actual facilities. And then again, not wearing proper uniforms, not wearing identifying uniforms. They have been accused of, basic abuses of power, race-based, ethnic targeting. They, rampant sexual abuse, and rampant is not an exaggeration here. From 2010 to 2016, there were 15,000 complaints of sexual abuse in ICE detention centers. 15,000 in
6 years. Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, overall, DHS fielded over 30,000 accusations of sexual abuse. That's just sexual abuse. In this year so far, from the beginning of the year to right now, there have been at least 12 people who have died in ICE facilities. And so I call them ICE facilities. They are sometimes run by private corporations. Sometimes they're run by ICE itself. They use and overuse solitary confinement for transgender inmates, so-called for their protection. They have been detaining and maintaining in detention pregnant women. They have been ambushing immigrants at immigration court. So immigrants who are going to court to proceed with their case, ICE agents have been arresting them there. They arrested a woman who was making a complaint of sexual abuse, of domestic abuse at her home. And they've doctored documents recently to imply that someone with DACA was a gang member when he was not. The list goes on and on. So these are some of the things that they have been doing. And as I said, we don't know what else they have been
doing. Presumably with the stepping up of immigration and enforcement of immigration law, the rates of abuses might be going up if you think of it as proportional to its activity. So let's talk about how ICE's records are kept, where they're kept at. Presumably federal agencies that have complaints filed against them by Americans or residents of the United States are kept in a particular location. And now ICE has asked, or we find out now that it asked 2 years ago to have some of its records destroyed. Let's talk about that. Tell us where the records are kept, first of all.
Well, some records are kept internally. Some records are also kept, as with all federal agencies, by NARA, the National Archives and Record Administration. And as you mentioned, in 2015, ICE first put forth this request asking to delete records, destroy records anywhere between 3 and 20 years after they're created. And these records vary from, there's a whole number of them, but some of the ones that we're more concerned about are records of sexual abuse. And as I said, there are a lot of them, 15,000 in the last 6 years at least. Records of in-custody deaths, records pertaining to the use of solitary confinement. And, as we're seeing this increase of enforcement, there is a step up of 40% of the number of arrests made by ICE this year compared to last year. So far this year compared to the same time last year, 40%, it's over 70,000 people who were arrested by ICE. This is a time that we need to be keeping these records. We need to be knowing what's going on. You know, ICE's budget is over $5 billion a year. Total immigration enforcement budget is almost $20 billion a year. You think that for how much we pay, we should know what this agency is doing, and we don't. And we're, you know, going to be kept further in the dark if these records are destroyed. You know, these records are crucially important for understanding the current situation for academics, journalists, historians. One really sort of convincing case, I think, is that they've requested that the records surrounding their use of solitary confinement would be destroyed as soon as 3 years after they're created. That is within the statute of limitations that someone who suffered in solitary confinement could file a complaint for redress from the agency. So
they want to be able to destroy records before they could be used to actually hold them accountable.
Exactly. So someone who was held in solitary confinement and abused, we have incidents of this happening to transgender people who were sexually abused while they were in solitary confinement. They might, by the time they get out and try to file a claim against ICE, those records may no longer exist.
Wow. Are there any records that ICE is not allowed to request destruction of that would give a sense of the abuses that it has been accused of?
Yeah, there are. So ICE conducts its own internal investigations. And you know, we don't know a lot about how they decide when to do that, when not to do that. Some incidences automatically trigger an internal investigation, and those records will be kept. But there, you're relying on an agency to self-police, and I think that's not something that we should entrust the you know, Immigration and Customs.
I mean, has ICE ever found itself guilty of any of the accusations made against it over the past 16 years?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, there's been some cases definitely where, you know, they're fireable offenses and people have, you know, met some sort of either legal redress or internal, you know, redress. But again, I don't think that's enough. And I think that you can't ask an agency to self-police. That doesn't work. That doesn't make sense. You know, our system of government is built on checks and balances. You know, we, like, as you know, Tom Homan said, you know, people should be looking over their shoulders. And I think that's the wrong way to see things right now. I think we should be looking over ICE's shoulder, not ICE should be looking over, I should be staring down and chasing all these other people. It does happen, and ICE does conduct internal investigations. There are a couple other circumstances. DHS does a broad publication every year of various things, including some abuses, and those will be kept in perpetuity. But there's a lot of situations where we just don't know, and we right now, you know, President Trump asked for 10,000 more ICE agents.
Is expanding rapidly in its staff.
Well, so is proposed to do. Yeah, we'll see actually how many are hired. That's a really complicated issue. But as it may expand rapidly, or at least expand a bit, this is a time. And when it's charged with this nationalist rhetoric, when ICE agents may be running out of control following their president's example. This is a moment where you really need to keep these records.
Right. I mean, the Trump administration has sent a very clear message to law enforcement around the country, whether it's police departments or federal agents, that they have free rein. You know, it has made clear through various means that it's not interested in accountability of its own agents, and that this sort of tough on crime approach on steroids is the norm now. So the time for keeping records is even greater. And of course, with these records being given the go-ahead to be destroyed, that's a bad sign. Now, what does it mean that the request was made in 2015 but was only approved this year? Is it normal to have a two-year period? Or was it that the Obama administration was reticent to destroy records and the Trump administration was only too eager?
Well, you know, I'm not exactly sure the standard protocol for NARA, but this seems like a typical procedure. There was the request made, there was some revisions, some recommendations that NARA made, and went back and forth for a little while. So I'm not positive about that, but it seems like a pretty typical procedure. But let me go back to what you were saying before about the Trump administration, you know, really trying to give free rein to law enforcement, including immigration enforcement. So, you know, Sean Spicer, in I think it was in February, talked about the shackles coming off of ICE. The shackles were never on ICE. Tom Homan, the director, current director, acting director of ICE, in his sort of notorious now July press conference, talked about not disclosing the methods with which they would be interdicting gang members. So, you know, he's sort of following the example that Trump sets for talking about military strategy. But this isn't military strategy. This is an internal enforcement strategy. And I think we do need to know how ICE makes decisions about who they are targeting. And we're already seeing problems with this. So there's this big sort of, you know, effort to go after alleged gang members. And we're seeing in Long Island, there was a great report that NPR did about young high school students who are being picked up, accused of being gang members, put in immigration detention facilities, and you know, starting the process of deporting them. In a few cases, at least, that was ended because the person was not a gang member at all, but was happened to be, you know, walking down the hallway with people who were allegedly gang members. You know, so if they're caught wearing the wrong color on the wrong day, or if they have, you know, are caught with a little bit of marijuana, they could be accused of being gang members, and then, you know, ripped from their families, sent to immigration detention, and, you know, the abuses just sort of spin out of control from there.
Is it fairly typical for federal agencies to ask to have their records destroyed? I mean, is this a typical or atypical thing that ICE had requested?
You know, it seems like there's a lot that's not typical about this specific request. For example, the Department of Defense, they keep records of deaths in custody, deaths for up to 50 years. So, you know, why ICE wants to be able to delete those records within 20 years, and it's coming at the same time as this increase in enforcement and is this, like, you know, ballooning of the agency, I think is pretty suspect. And then the case, again, going back to the use of solitary confinement, it just doesn't make sense. Those records are needed and will be needed for ongoing current litigation, and you can't destroy them. I mean, that just doesn't work. So I don't have that many other examples of other agencies and how they do it, but, you know, NARA gave me those few other examples of, like, the DOD, who maintains their records for a lot longer.
Well, John, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We'll post a link to your article from our site later as well. Thanks so much.
Thanks for talking to me, Sally.
My guest is John Washington, a contributor to The Nation magazine, where he writes about immigration and border politics. We've been discussing his latest piece in The Nation about ICE requesting to destroy records of accusations made against it. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.